5, and it does go along a little bit what we're going to share with you this morning, Lord willing. But Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 5, if you would stand as we read the Scripture. It might be a little loud. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. For all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Johnny, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many
blessings. Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, you bless us now as we go into the preaching hour. Lord, give Keith, Lord, the words to preach today. Lord, apply it to our hearts. Most of all, give us feet and the power to go do something with it. Lord, we pray, Lord, you bless those that are unable to be here today. Lord, you give them a blessing, Lord. Be with those that just aren't here, Lord. You put a burden on the heart to come back. Lord, bless you. Heal those that are sick. Be with those that are growing cold and indifferent on you, Lord. We pray, Lord, you just reach down, touch them. Warm their heart, Lord. Let them know we love them, Lord, and have them come back, Lord, at this time, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done, Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. And this passage of Scripture, like I said, it does kind of go along with talking about the rapture and the end times and everything. But I want you to notice some of the things that are mentioned there and really what we'd categorize all of them to mean and to talk about a lot, especially beginning verse 6. He says that you'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. I've heard it said that you know, World War I was called the war to end all wars, and then World War II was called the second war to end all wars. And there's a space of time from World War I to World War II, and that there wasn't any wars or conflicts. But somebody said since the end of World War II, there's never been a time that there hasn't been a war or a conflict of some type in the world today. And so many, many years we went along with some type of distress, some type of war, some type of thing going on. It says, be not troubled, the end is not yet. And then it says, verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. It said there'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Just a lot of different disasters, if you will, that are mentioned here in the Word of God. And if maybe may be a word that's used lightly today, but there's a lot of disasters that's mentioned when associated with the last days. I mean, throughout the Scripture, and this isn't the only place we can look. We look at several different places. You're looking as Paul admonished Timothy. He talked to him a lot about the last days. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. He said there's going to be perilous times. There's going to be disasters. There's going to be things that are coming upon the face of this earth, maybe like we've never seen before. And really, I think we're seeing it today. I mean, you might say, well, you know, things that have happened, earthquakes and different things, you know, they have happened before, but maybe they have, but they haven't happened as frequently as we see today. In fact, I want to talk to you about disaster. I want to talk to you about dealing with disasters. Dealing with disasters. First of all, one thing that we see, like I said, some natural disasters we've seen in these days. The Scripture says there in verse 7, the latter part of verse 7, there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, in many places. And you could say probably, no doubt we're living in the last days. If you see more frequency of these type of things. I mean, really, most of us probably didn't even know how to spell tsunami. And you still don't, maybe. But these disasters and things have happened like that before, but not in a large scale as we are seeing today. And no doubt, I believe we're living in the last days because of that. there's going to be a lot more things. You say, and we might look at it today and say, well, it's not shocking us as much. We've kind of settled in on it, and we know that things are happening. Well, they're going to happen more frequently. If you look at things that will happen during the tribulation period, it'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind looking at a period of really the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. The first 3.5 years, there'll be a time of peace. And the last 3.5 years is really when the judgment of God's going to fall. That's really the time of Jacob's trouble. That's really the time of great tribulation. Well, and all that's going to happen in concerning earthquakes and the earth being burned up and the moon turning to blood and the sun being darkened and all of these things, I believe they're going to happen just like the Bible says. I believe it just like the Word of God says it. I believe that things are going to happen like that, and they're happening today more frequently. Natural disasters are happening. Not only that, we hear about, and we've heard so much in the last few weeks or so about economic disasters, and we hear about, you know, this falling and that falling and different things falling in the stock market and everything, and they're saying it's worse than it's ever been. It's worse disaster, economically speaking, that we've ever seen. Of course, the only thing I can't figure out is why anybody's got any hope in the people that broke it to fix it. you know what they said about a problem in I forget how the problem actually was, but or how it started, but there was a place where the sink was a leaking, and they went to fix it. Went to fix where a sink's a leaking. Sink's a leaking. It's already flooded up the sink. It's already pouring out on the floor. You know how a government fix of that is? You go get a mop bucket and a mop, and you start mopping up the floor. You get where I'm headed? Instead of going and fixing the sink, you mop the water up, and you never get it fixed. You know, that's just an example, really, ain't it? I mean, now, before I even get started, I might get scattered this morning. I don't know. But I mean, I've just had some of these thoughts on my heart. I'll try to put them all together and just give them to you, and then we'll go home, okay? But it's sad that sometimes we look at these things happening and we see things going on like that, and it catches us by surprise. But the Bible tells us that if we fall in love with that money, there's a problem there, really. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." No doubt a lot of people today won't even consider nothing in this upcoming election but their own pocketbook. They'll not consider nothing else but their own financial situation. That's the only thing they'll look to. They won't be concerned about what the candidate stands about abortion, how the candidate stands about gay rights. They won't be concerned about these things. In fact, I've already heard, it's the first time I've ever heard this. First time I ever heard this. I heard a political candidate, well, not a candidate, but somebody that was a candidate. And she said that narrows it down a little bit, don't it? Anyhow, she said that for you right-wing Christian people, forget about abortion. They said, for you Christian people, that you right-wing, forget about gay rights, forget about those type of things. You need to be concerned about your pocketbook today. You need to be concerned about that. I've never heard somebody come out and say that. I mean, just forget about how many babies we're killing. Just forget about how far off track we've gone as far as our morals and our convictions in this country. Just forget about that. And just think about yourself. I mean, I know people's been doing that for many, many years, but finally somebody's getting out on the forefront and saying it, you know. Bible says a fool has said in his heart there is no God, but some people are foolish enough to go ahead and open their mouth and let it be seen that they believe there's no God, that they believe there's nothing that can be helpful. And I guess right on the along with that, I could say there's political disasters a lot of times too that we face. You know, we've said before, and we've had people behind this pulpit say, you know, there's just no choice in our day to day, and maybe there's not as good a choice as we've ever seen before, and that's sad. There's disaster after disaster that that shapes the day that we live in. In fact, the Bible tells us here, as far as the political scene, look at what verse 5 says. It says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's a lot of folks that could stand up and say, and have said before, you know, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to be your Messiah. But there's only one Messiah. There's only one Christ. There's only one Jesus. There's only one that died for you. There's only one that took your place on Calvary. And praise God, we come to lift His name up. And we ought to be lifting His name up. We ought to be serving Him. I could say right along with that, and we've already touched on it, there's just a cultural breakdown, just a disaster. I mean, you know, and sometimes people look at it and say, well, how can some people be so harsh and so callous about these things? There's not any concern in their heart. Well, you know, if somebody is if somebody doesn't have any value of life itself, you know, I guess they could do just about anything and it wouldn't bother them. If you're not concerned about folks on one end of the spectrum in their life of being born, and you're not concerned about folks as they're getting old, and you promote euthanasia and you promote abortion on one end or the other, you're seeing folks die out, and you want to see folks die out, and survival of the fittest, I guess what some people think, then they don't have any concern for life. Why should they have concern about anything else? Maybe their conscience are seared in this day and time. But I just want to tell you what the Bible says. Look over in Isaiah chapter 44. And I was reading through the book of Isaiah, and still am, in my daily Bible readings in the mornings, or in the evening whenever. Throughout the book of Isaiah, there's several times I started reading about how many times the Bible talks to us about God knows us before we're born. God knows us when we're formed in the womb. The Scripture says here in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord, and maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by Himself. He said, I am the Lord. He said, He is He that formed thee from the womb. Amen. I like to think about old John the Baptist. And I tell you, old John the Baptist and his mom and dad, that was a Holy Ghost-filled family. The Bible talks about old Zechariah being filled with the Holy Ghost and Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Ghost. But it says old John the Baptist was too, and he was filled from his mother's womb. And when he heard about Jesus, he leaped in the womb. Amen. When Mary come around telling about Jesus being born, he leaped inside of the womb. Oh, there's life there, praise God. And sad that folks just have no regard for life anymore. I tell you what, like I said the other week when I was preaching about this, I said, you know, if they don't have any regard for life, for human life, they sure don't have any regard for spiritual life. They haven't come to Jesus Christ for spiritual life. We need to be born again. Hey, you're born once, but if you're saved, you're born twice, praise God, and you'll only die once. You'll die a physical death, but you'll never die a spiritual death because Christ has already died for you. Amen. Praise God. He died a spiritual death for you as well as a physical death. I believe that's what he didn't want to he dreaded going through, if you will, on Calvary, is that spiritual death, that spiritual separation from God because of your sins and my sins at one time in all of eternity, that they'd lose that fellowship sweetly between God the Father and God the Son, because the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. The Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. He had to take our sins and to the cross of Calvary, and He had to die a spiritual death as well as a physical death. But praise be unto God, if you know Him and you're saved by His marvelous grace, you'll never have to die a spiritual death. You'll never have to be separated from God because you're saved. You're part of the family now. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven, and you'll never be separated. Hey, what a privilege. You say, well, you know, we're going to die, though, one of these days. I'm going to die. But you know what the Bible said? Paul begins to cry out there in Corinthians, and I kind of see it as him making a mockery to death. He says, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" He just mocks old death. He said, "Hey, I know what happened on Calvary. I know that Jesus Christ took the sting out of death."
That's right.
It's like messing around with those bees and everything. I don't know how I got over it. I guess it just grew out of it. But I used to be scared. I used to be scared of bees. And I get on to my boys about being scared with them and scared of bees and everything. And then I have to tell them how scared I was. And have to give them a little bit of slack because of that, no doubt. I wasn't scared of spiders and snakes. I was scared of bees. That was about crazy. I remember one time down Creek Bank. I won't even tell you that story down the Creek Bank with a copperhead. But anyhow, but I used to be always scared of them bees, you know. But you know, if a stinger is taken out of that bee, there's one type of bee that I ain't up on my bees right now. I know we're going to get on that in homeschooling in just a little bit with Jacob. But that when he loses his stinger, he can just buzz around all he wants to, but he can't hurt you. His stinger's gone. He can't sting you and hurt you anymore. That's the way old death is. Death and buzz all it wants to. I mean, we can face those days, and we can go through some hard times, and we can feel some, but yet if we're saved, we can look forward to the day that we are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I mean, there's no pleasure, like we said on Wednesday, I think it was, when we were preaching through Ezekiel, and where it says there's no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but He says, as far as the saint goes, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Well, I want to give you just about three things right quick, and like I said, maybe we've been scattered and going to be scattered, but we'll just go to the house when we get done. But let me give you about three things about dealing with disasters. First of all, the disaster that comes doesn't separate us from the love of God. Whatever disaster it is, it doesn't separate us from the love of God. Hey, there's nothing that can separate us according to the Word of God. Let me read you this, and this is a few verses, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, you know this passage. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" That's disasters right there, ain't it? He named out all these disasters. He said, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Now, I tell you what, I don't even know what that means, but it says we're more than conquerors. I mean, to conquer that, I mean, you've won. I mean, ain't nothing else to it. And I, as a man, you've conquered, but the Lord says you're more than a conqueror. I guess because a lot of times we don't even have to fight in the battle. The Lord fights the battle for us. You can be a more than a conqueror when you win and you wasn't even fighting. God was doing the fighting, praise God. More than conquerors. Then He goes on to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." I'll tell you what, and we don't want to, you know, we don't want to pray for them. You know, the Scripture tells us, you know, not that if through the patience, and sometimes the tribulations bring patience, and we don't want to pray for patience, because the tribulation will have to come that we'll get the patience that we need. But sometimes, and no doubt, it's beneficial, praise God, and God knows what He's doing in our life. But there's nothing that's going to come. There's no disaster that you're going to face. There's no trouble you're going to go through. There's no heartache that you're going to have. There's no problem that you're going to ever face that's going to separate you from the love of God. Now, it might separate you from the other's love. It might separate the closest friends. It might separate and divide folks in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of disasters that come that hurt and that harm, and we feel them, and we know they're there. But you know, we ought to also know that the love of God's there. If you're saved by the grace of God, the love of God is there. There's nothing's going to separate us. Can you imagine all that Paul went through? Can you imagine all the distress that he and several different times he goes through the list? And man, I mean, it's rough. He talks about being beaten. He talks about facing death. And I believe one time he really did die. He says, you know, over there, he gives the indication of that in Corinthians, that one time they stoned him. And they stoned him to death. And he got the glimpse of the third heaven, the Bible says. He got to see the Lord, but the Lord said, I ain't finished with you yet. And so, all the things that he went through, the shipwreck, being beaten, and all the troubles that he went through, he knew about trouble. But no doubt, probably many times, he thought about the love of Christ when he was in his deepest valley, when he was in prison, when he was in chains, when he was shipwrecked, whatever it might have been, when he was hungry, when he was naked, when all of these things were coming against him. He couldn't forget about the love of God. That God loved him, that no matter what he was going through, no matter what he was facing, there was still a God in heaven, praise God. He was still on the throne. He wasn't out of business. He hadn't quit, praise God. Everything's still in control in the portals of heaven, amen. Doesn't matter what happens in this life, the natural disasters, the economic disasters, the political disasters, the cultural disasters that people seemingly, their conscience are seared and they don't, there's nothing that moves them and there's nothing that changes them. Oh, how sad it is. But praise be to God through all of that. There's nothing separating us from the love of God. There's nothing dividing us from His love. Who shall separate us, he said. And then he went on to say, he closed by saying, there is not a creature that's able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I mean, I reckon you couldn't even separate yourself, could you? Somebody said, you know, the Bible says you're saved, that the Lord puts you in His hand. And no man is able to pluck you out of His hand. No man's able to separate you from the love of God. I've heard somebody use that illustration before, and they go ahead and say, well, you know, no man can do it, but you can separate yourself. Well, I didn't read that commentary in there. I didn't see that there in the parentheses. You're a man, ain't you? Or you're a person, you know, man or a woman, individual. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. You're saved, praise God. You're secure. You're on your way to heaven. Bible tells, Paul said, hey, I know whom I believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm not the one keeping it. Now, I'd have to agree with you pretty quick if it was us keeping it. If it was me keeping it, if it was you keeping it, we could lose it. But it's the Lord that's keeping it. It's God that's keeping it. It's our name that's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. If it's written in the red royal blood of Calvary, it's stained up there in the Lamb's Book of Life and it's not getting out. Amen. Glad to know that I'm saved. On my way to heaven, there's nothing going to separate us from God's love. But second of all, let me say about dealing with disasters, let me say that, that they will come and you will be able to bear them. You say, now preacher, you just don't know. And you don't know what might come. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I serve a God that does. And I serve a God, He wrote this book. And He says that He's not putting anything on us that we couldn't bear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And no doubt He's talking to a church there that's went through some trouble. He's talking to a church there and some people that knows about trouble and trial and tribulation and contention and strife. And they've been through a lot of stuff. But He told them there's nothing going to come by your way that God can't take care of it. Listen to what He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. No temptation that's not common to man. In other words, he's saying, there's nothing, everybody else is going through some stuff. You say, preacher, they ain't going through what I'm going through. I know. But somewhere along the line, somebody's went through something like what you're going through. Somewhere along the line, somebody has went there and been there, and they can say, like the scripture says, over and over again, and it came to pass.
Uh-huh.
It came, but it passed. It came. We made it through it, praise God. Now we're on the other side shouting the victory, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, there's nothing that we won't be able to bear. We'll be able to endure. We'll be able to go through that. And I believe that some of these passages, if you read on down, is talking definitely about in the midst of the tribulation period. I'm not going to try to pull this out of context. I believe clearly that down there in verse 13 is talking about in the midst of the tribulation period. I believe it's talking about those that have maybe even lost their lives because of the gospel. They've been beheaded because of the cause of Christ. The Bible tells us of the martyrs in that day that he said that these are they that have come through great tribulation. The scripture says down there in verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, I want to say, and I'm not trying to misapply this, but I want to say that there are some things that we have to endure. There are some things we have to go through. And we'd go through them because we are saved, and we'll make it through them because we are saved by the grace of God, not to be saved. Now, they may endure some things in that day to be saved because they have to go through these things. But I tell you what a blessing that right now in this day and age, what you need to do is just hear the truth of the Word of God, just hear the plain truth of the Word of God and obey the gospel.
Amen.
So I was reading through Isaiah, also reading through 2 Thessalonians. And there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I remember there was an individual. And I think he's the one that was with me that one time with that snake down by the creek bank. And I ain't going to tell you that whole story. But I remember being with him one time. We were talking about the things of the end days and everything. And I began to lay some things out. And we began to talk about it. And oh, he was just so interested. And we kept talking about Brother Tom. We'd get together and talk about the things of the Bible and the Word of God as young teenage boys. Talk about the things of God. But he said, you know what? He said, I'm really versed up on it now and I understand a lot of what's going to happen now. He said, I'll wait till then and I'll get saved. He said, I'll wait till then. I see these things coming. Then I'll go to the Lord and I'll be saved. And I said, well, listen, you can't do that. He said, I said, I know good and well. There's some scripture in there that talks about you'll be deceived in that day and you'll not get saved in that day.
Amen.
He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I don't know for sure, but let me get on my bicycle and go home and get my King James Bible and I'll find it. And I did.
Amen.
I brought him the answer the next day. I said, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's turn the Bible, amen, amen. So open it up here, let's read it.
Amen.
We turned it and opened it. In fact, Brother Kenny, we opened it up over there on Elm Street. Mulberry Street, opened up the Bible and the Word of God. I said, right here it is, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible tells us there that God shall send you strong delusion that you believe a lie and be damned. You won't accept the truth. You can't accept the truth in that day. Boy, you ought to get saved now. You ought to come to the Lord now and get saved. I tell you what, there are some things that will endure, though. I tell you what, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, it doesn't matter who's elected as president, it's going to get worse.
Yes, sir.
I guarantee you it's going to get worse.
Amen.
It's going to get a lot worse before the Lord comes. Hey, praise God, it'd be a blessing. Hey, and we need to look for His return and pray for His return right now, praise God. It'd be a blessing, Lord. Just go ahead and rapture us out of this mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
But whatever we have to go through, we can bear it. We can endure it. We can go through it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:3 that therefore endure hardness. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We got some things we're going to have to endure. Apostle Paul, let's give you a little example of what he went through. Let me give you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side. He said, every way I turn, there's trouble. Have you ever been there? Just Brother Tom said amen to that. Anybody been there? Trouble on every side. Between a rock and a hard place, you know. Behind the eight ball. Is there any more examples I can give you? There's all kinds of stuff that happens sometimes. And we're like old Paul, troubled on every side, he said, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Hallelujah. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ be made manifest in our body. You know what I think is a saying? Hey, all these troubles are coming, but I'm not distressed. Perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted, I'm not forsaken. He's not leaving me alone. Cast down, not destroyed. But he said, I'm always thinking, though, about what Jesus did. Always bearing about in my body the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, listen, I've been through some things and I'm going to go through some things, but there's nothing any worse than what my Savior went through for me. There's nothing, you know, the Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are. I said a while ago, whatever you're going through, there's somebody been through it. And I tell you what, Jesus says He took it all upon Himself while He was here. He said He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted just like we are. He experienced everything that we would experience for us. That's the reason He's the only one that took your place. He's the only one that has took your place. He died on the cross for us. And Paul said, every time I go through something, I was thinking, well, you know what? I know what the Lord went through. I know what He experienced. And I know if He went through it and He went up to Calvary's and He bled and He died for me, I can go through this little problem here. I can go through this little bit of distress right here. I can make through this valley. I see the light at the end of the tunnel now. Hey, I know God's able. What a blessing. But then last of all, let me give you this, and this one's hard to swallow sometimes, but thirdly, let me say that the distress we're going through can make us better. The stress that we're going through can make us better. It don't have to make us bitter. It can make us better. Amen? Amen. Like old David Ring, as he's a preacher, he always talks about the old, he said God takes the lemons and makes lemonades out of it. He said that's kind of a picture of what God did for him. He says about his life and everything. God can take the trouble you're going through and He can make it better. We don't have to be bitter on the other side. God can change everything. And whatever the trial we're going through and whatever we're facing, it can be to praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this scripture not long ago and I said, I ought to find me another verse and put that in there. But I said, I'll just give it to them again. I can't remember if it was last Sunday or what, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. At Jesus Christ appearing. We had this in the Bible school lesson this morning. You think about it. The things that we face and the things that we go through, one of these days there's going to be a rewarding day. One of these days, those maybe crowns that we receive. The Bible talks of five different crowns that we can receive. And we have those crowns. We can lay them at the feet of Jesus. We lay them down at Jesus' feet on coronation day. And it's not because we're, you know, bragging on what we have done. We'll not do that at all. There won't be a wrong motive up there at all. Amen. It'll all be giving praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, won't we say, hey, it wasn't much to go through that distress. It wasn't much to go through that disaster. It wasn't much to go through those things. Because now, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm in the beauties of heaven. Now I can say, praise God, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. It's worth every mile of the trip. It's worth it all. We can probably say we've been through a lot of hardships and we've been through persecution. We've had things happen. And I can say the same thing. We talk to folks and get the door slammed in your face. And you talk to folks and they sick the dogs on you. And I knew I'd get one amen out of that one. And, you know, people don't understand us. They think we're crazy. They say that you know, y'all just crazy believing that rapture thing and believing all them things going to happen. That ain't going to happen. You know, we're just going to take care of everything. America's going to take care of the world, and we're going to, you know, save the world and save the whales and save the spotted owls, and we're going to save everything and everybody. We're going to take care of it all. Hey, you know, it's going to be wonderful. Going to be a peace that comes. The Bible says when they say peace, peace, sudden destruction comes. Well, but you know what? One of these days, when we get to heaven, we'll just know, praise God, it was worth every mile of the trip. It's worth every persecution that we went through, every trial that we faced. And I can remember being just about everything, and I won't go into all of it, but all the things that people said and done. And I remember one person, he did it just to make me mad, really. It's what he did. He wanted to see me lose my cool. He spit in my face. And he wanted to see me lose my cool and bust him in the jaw. And if I wasn't talking to him about the Lord, I probably would have. But... But I was talking to him about the Lord, and I said, I know you. He just wanting to, and I gave him scripture for that. I said, you know, the Bible says you just go ahead and love your enemy, and the Lord will heap coals of fire upon their head. And he got worried then. But I always carried a little hanky in my pocket, and I reached back there and got my hanky and just wiped my face off, just kept telling him about the Lord. Just kept telling him about Jesus. Hey, the things that we go through, it's nothing. It's nothing compared. Hey, let me give you one more verse, I'm done. I like what Apostle Paul said there in Corinthians. He said, I reckon. And I know he's a Southerner by saying that, man. He said, I reckon. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be hereafter. He said, I reckon everything I go through. Every sorrow, every trouble, every distress that we face, it can't compare to the glory that awaits there in heaven one of these days. Amen. I asked Miss Davis, she would come around with a song. Musicians come around. God knows your heart. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for a Lord that's there to stand by us through everything we're going through.